Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and the
Is there a pattern emerging here? We read through the Old Testament, we find first. And no one's had this problem up to this point. If you read through the Old Testament in Genesis all the way up to Genesis 12, no one's had any problem having kids. The kids have come very quickly. They have come many, many children. We have genealogies that trace this guy begat these children and this guy begat these children all the way down. And then you get to Abraham. And Abraham has no children, and he's promised children, and it takes almost forever for God to give him but one child. And then when that one child finally finds a wife, as we discovered last week with Pastor Tom Baker, as we walked through our Sunday school lesson, he gets the wife, and then guess what? She's barren. They can't have children. And this will not be the last time it happens in the course of God keeping his promise. Is there a pattern here? Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, November the 17th. We'll be on Genesis 25 through 27, the story of Jacob and Esau. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
This is Abraham, and now his son, Isaac, finds himself a wife, and she can't have children, and they wait for, what, 20 years or something like that for Jacob and Esau to be born. Is there a pattern in the way that God is carrying out and fulfilling this promise he made way back at the beginning of Genesis?
The Lord says 1,000 years is like a year, and 1 year can be like 1,000 years. Time is insignificant to the Lord. What is more significant is that he's going to keep his promise. And so he always has a tendency to make a promise, and then, boy, it sure takes a long time for it to be fulfilled. A couple of weeks ago, we had the parable of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the wedding feast to begin, and of course, 5 of them didn't bring enough oil for their lanterns. Why? Because they had put God in a box, or the groom in a box, as to when he should show up, and they weren't prepared for him to show up later. We need to remember, and I love the Abraham Sarah, you're going to have a baby, Sarah. Takes 25 years. She didn't have a 25-year pregnancy, but it was probably a 9-month pregnancy, but it took from 65 to 90 years old, and there's Abraham at 100 years old.
So we have this long wait for the child to arrive, and this time it isn't one, it's two. It's Jacob and Esau, twins. Tell us the story.
Yes. We also believe that Cain and Abel might have been twins, because it says that she conceived, and then she bore Cain, and then she kept on bearing Abel. So this may not be the first set of twins, and who knows how many others, what with many people on earth by that time. Be that as it may, it appears that because of Isaac's prayer to the Lord, that the Lord responds at this time in order that she might have children. That's verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer. So once more, by the way, the name Lord there is Yahweh, and we believe this could also be referring to Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. And there's, of course, 2 children within her, twins, and they're struggling within her. And she asks, why is this happening to me? Then it says she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, it's possible she went to her grandfather, Abraham, because he lived 15 more years after the twins were born. And he was also known as the first prophet. So it's quite possible the Lord spoke through him to her. And then this is really important. Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. But then this next phrase is so critical here. The older shall serve the younger, which flies in the face of the inheritance laws at that time.
All right. This is going to be kind of a they have no choice here, isn't it? I mean, this is a word of the Lord.
Yep.
Saying this is the way that things are ordinarily going to work here. It's not going to work this way. Is the Lord in effect telling them in advance, telling her in advance, that he has chosen the younger to be the bearer of the promise and not the older? Is that what he's saying?
That's correct. And that's why we believe that after the two of them are born, Esau and Jacob, that Esau was loved by Isaac because he, of course, was a hunter and could make great food. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and we would assume that she did that because she knew the promise that the older shall serve the younger, and of course Jacob was the younger, having been born after Esau.
So what's going on here? The God's way of doing things, that it's not man's way of doing things. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
Yeah, just ask the Virgin Mary. She's alone in a room, and an angel appears to her and says, by the way, you're going to have the Son of God. And the faith that must have been given to her. You can well imagine why Joseph was ready to put her away, to divorce her, when he found out she was pregnant, because he knew that even though they were engaged, it was certainly not his responsibility. The fact of the matter is, God does this again and again and again. He uses the least likely people. I mean, a bunch of fishermen to become the 12 apostles, and then when one of them is lost and he's looking for an apostle to the Gentiles, he chooses a murderer of Christians in Saul, therefore then converts him and makes him an apostle to the Gentiles. God does not think the way we do. And this is an important lesson to get across to the children. All of their plans that they're making about their future, none of them will come into effect, the more specific they are. I think I was going to be about four or five different vocations. I wanted to be a policeman, and I was going to be a missionary, then I was going to be a pastor. And God knew ahead of time, but I didn't. So this is the kind of God we had, that once he does make his decision, it's always for our good.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break here on this Monday afternoon from our Sunday school lesson and come back in just a minute. We're talking about Jacob and Esau. We're in Genesis chapters 25 and 27. The war that's in the womb continues outside the womb, and the usurping of the birthright and the promise, well, it appears to be a usurping, but it isn't. God has already said this is the way it's going to be. And we'll follow the course of that right after this with Pastor Tom Baker.
Substitute Organist Service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the Substitute Organist Service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. lunchforthebunch.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Monday afternoon, November the 17th. We're talking about Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapters 25 and 27. The babies are born, they grow up, they couldn't be more different than one another. Esau, even from birth, they're strongly different from one another. Their names, one is named for his kind of red hair and the other one because he's grasping at the heel of his brother. One grows up to be a hunter, a man of the field, and the other one stays at the tents, kind of hangs around with the woman folk. But we have this story told early about the, and it's a very brief story at verse 29 of chapter 25, of how it is that Jacob comes by the birthright. Tell us the story and what's going on here, Tom.
Yes, you were correct that Jacob was the one who was more with the women in cooking, etc. And it says he was cooking a stew. This is verse 29. And in comes Esau from working in the field. Says he was exhausted. Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted. And that's why his nickname became Edom. Edom, frankly, is a word in the Hebrew that comes from the word for red. In fact, it's a word very similar to Adam, where the word Adam and Eve come from. Another derivation is it comes from the word field, and of course Esau is a man of the field. And so Edom becomes a place and is also a fulfillment of the promise that these two brothers, their two nations, are going to be fighting each other. Edom and Israel were always having problems later on. But the first sin comes about where Jacob says, "Sell me your birthright now." Now, Jacob, I'm sure, was told by Rebekah, and Abraham and Isaac would have known this, that the promise had been for Esau to serve Jacob. But it's interesting here that Jacob is, in a sense, taking the law in his own hands. He's trying to make sure that will occur rather than resting in the Lord and allowing him to fulfill the promise apart from deceit. So he says, "Yeah, I'll be glad to give you some of this pottage if you just give me your birthright." Now Esau says, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" And then he did swear his birthright to Jacob. And the Bible is really clear in verse 14, "Thus Esau despised his birthright." he was really not near death. He was just really tired. But this is a good lesson for all of us and the children to realize that sometimes we go after temporal things, which we think are more important than listening to the promises of God. And as we're going to see, this causes innumerable problems between Jacob and Esau.
So we have fault on both sides. We have Jacob, as all of these patriarchs are wont to do from time to time, trying to take matters into his own hands. And then we also have Esau, who is faulted for forfeiting the birthright, even though it's not going to belong to him, he still forfeits it.
In fact, I'd like to expand on what you just said. The Growing in Christ series did a wonderful job. If you had asked me before I did the study on this, what was the big sin? I would have said Rebecca and Jacob trying to fool Isaac. But upon closer examination, all of them are sinning. Esau sins by giving away his birthright. That's clear from the verse I just read. And by the way, later on, marrying Hittite pagan women. Isaac sins by ignoring God's promise that Esau will serve Jacob. And therefore, he's still willing to give the birthright to Esau rather than to Jacob. And finally, Jacob and Rebekah sin by tricking Isaac. I think the theme of this lesson is really critical. God has made promises to the Sunday school children and to Christians in their baptism. We continue to sin. God continues to sustain and fulfill his promises as we remain in word and sacrament, so that Jesus becomes not only the author of our faith, but the finisher of our faith, so that our sin does not impede the fulfillment of God keeping his promises. I think that's a really important lesson.
And this is something that I think a lot of Sunday school lessons would attempt to explain away.
Yes.
You know, they try to make it out, well, God can't work through sin. That would be the presupposition. He can't work in spite of man's sin, and certainly not carry out his promises through sinful actions of these people. But you're saying that's precisely how he does it.
Yes. Many evangelicals are quite well known, Joel Osteen, etc., for what's called the prosperity gospel. You can tell how good you are by how well you are blessed. And if you want to get more blessed, then you need to be better than you are now. Well, guess what? Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Esau, all fell short of the glory of God. And yet God still blessed them as he had promised to Abraham in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and so forth.
Now, the birthright is not the blessing that will come later. This is simply that inheritance that goes from the physical inheritance, it goes from father to son. So in essence, that's a somewhat separate issue than what we're going to find next in our conversation, and that is how it is that Jacob comes by his father's blessing, which is an entirely different thing. So take us there, if you would.
Yes, well said. The birthright included three parts. It included a double portion of the inheritance, so the older son would get a double versus the rest of the family. It also included leadership over the family, so that even after the death of the father, the family was still together with the oldest son now as leader of the family. And it also included, in this case, the blessing to carry on the covenant promise. Well, what happens, of course, is that Isaac becomes hungry one day, and he tells Esau, you know, I'm not sure when I'm going to die. Go prepare for me delicious food and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, Rebecca overheard that. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebecca prepared her son to go into the father, Isaac, into his presence with the game, delicious food. And she says in verse 7, that you may eat it and that he may bless you before the Lord. In other words, Rebecca is going to use deceit to get Isaac to bless Jacob, even though he's thinking he's blessing Esau.
And this all has to do with the fact that the father favors Esau, the mother favors Jacob. I mean, there's a lot. This is a very messy business. They're all kind of working their own inter-family politics, and yet God somehow is still getting everything to work out right.
Yes, and it even says that Isaac favored Esau because of the food that Esau was able to prepare for him, the food, of course, that he would hunt and such. And then, as I said before, Rebekah favored Jacob simply because she knew the promise that the younger would have the older serving him.
So she says that, and she says you'd be blessed before the Lord is the way she puts it there. But it seems by their actions, they're kind of acting as though God has no part in this. They're trying to, coordinate it all themselves.
Yes, and how many times do we do that? We as Christians often try to do good works to get more blessings from God or to be more sure that we're saved. In fact, I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to ask the children, are you going to heaven and why? And they may say yes, but it'll be very interesting that most of the sentences will start with an I and an active verse. I come to Sunday school. I pray before meals. I do this, do that. The only time the I should be used is with a passive verb, namely, I am baptized, which means the promises of God come to me. So this would be a great opportunity to say, you cannot work in getting the fulfillment of God's promises. That is His job. And we sit back and let God be God, doing the work that He's given us in our particular vocations, but being absolutely sure that what He promised in baptism, He's going to fulfill.
When we come back, the depth of the deception is pretty profound, if you stop and think about it. It took some guts for the mother and the son to try and pull this one off. A disguise. The father almost even sees through it at one point. And the lies, this isn't just maybe he'll think I'm Esau. Jacob has to come out and lie directly to his father and say that he is Esau. We'll talk about all of that right after this.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Erst is a Lennox and Geocomfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Erst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErstHeating.com. Erst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at BethanyLCMS.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, this is a pretty complicated deception. It's not just a disguise and the meal, and then when Jacob gets in there into the tent with his aged father Abraham, he lies to him flat out. Isaac is just so close to seeing through this. He suspects something's fishy, but at least two times, Jacob lies to his father, claiming to be Esau. Pick it up there and tell us the story.
Yes, verse 19 is particularly interesting because Jacob, when he is asked by Isaac, "Who are you, my son?" Jacob says to his father, he just doesn't say, "I'm Esau." He says, "I am Esau, your firstborn." And by saying that, he's giving the impression that he should be receiving this blessing that he's about to do. And Rebecca is fully involved in this trickery because she takes some of the clothing of Esau, which would, of course, have the smell of the field on it, puts them on Jacob, her younger son, and she also puts skins of young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck, which Esau was a hairy individual. So Isaac says, you know, number one, how did you find this food so quickly, my son? And then, boy, Jacob says another thing, because the Lord your God granted me success. Now, this is really critical, Todd. I had never noticed this before. But what he is saying, he's saying the Lord your God. It is a fact that Jacob did not confess the true God Yahweh to be his own God until he returned from Haran. That's found in Genesis 28, 20 to 22. So we have an even greater sense of God's attitude. Not only is he dealing with people who continue to sin in trying to get his promises fulfilled, but Jacob here isn't even confessing Yahweh as his own God. And yet he is still going to be the one that God has chosen to be the one leading up to the Messiah. Isaac says, you know, your voice sounds like Jacob, but your hands are the hands of Esau. And so it says very clearly in verse 23, he did not recognize him, and then he went ahead and blessed him.
The content of that blessing is an odd mixture of things, and it sounds like something a father would say to his oldest son, but it also ends kind of the way that the blessing to Abraham had ended. Be Lord of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. That sounds an awful lot like what God had promised Abraham. Talk about that, if you would, Tom.
Yeah, this is most critical, because all the fulfillments of God's promises in the Old Testament books come to fruition in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here again, I appreciate the Growing in Christ series that helped put that together, that if you take a look at these promises, it is Jesus who is the final fulfillment of them. For example, even at the beginning, he says, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. So he thinks it's Esau. If you go to Ephesians 5:2, it says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then the rest of the promises that are continuing in verses 28 and 29, may God give you the dew of heaven. Jesus inherits the whole earth from the Father. It says in 29, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. And we know from the Bible that all people will bow before Jesus. And then the part you were mentioning, cursed those who curse you, blessed those who bless you. And that's precisely what is said about Jesus. Those who curse Jesus will be cursed. Matthew 25, the goats. And those who bless him will be blessed, the sheep. So what we have here, even though it looks like the promises are continuing to be fulfilled through Jacob, it's no surprise that Jesus will come from the house of Jacob, the tribe of Judah.
So is that why, with about a minute here, Tom, is that why when we're looking here for Christ, if we're looking just for Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah, we're just going to see nothing but a bunch of sinners there, all trying to work this thing out on their own through their lies and deception and later with Esau and Jacob, the hostility toward one another. But if we see Christ in here, we see how God continues to work to fulfill it. About 1 minute.
I think you're absolutely correct there, Todd. It reminds me of the greatest Bible study that ever occurred, and that was on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus went through the Old Testament books and showed where he was. I cannot but believe that this phrase from Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29, would have been part of that Bible study. For Jesus is the one who is the final fulfillment of it. He is the one through whom the blessings to earth came. Had Jesus never been born, never died, never become incarnate, then the promises of God would never have been fulfilled. That was the importance of what the devil was trying to do in the temptations and as he continued throughout Jesus' life. But Jesus never sinned and fulfilled the Father's will. So the Father says to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And whether or not Isaac knew that, he was really referring to the fulfillment in Jesus through his son, Jacob.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk to him about Jacob's dream. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
You've heard Tom mention Growing in Christ, this Sunday school curriculum, several times in the course of this conversation. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org, or call and they will send you a free sample of this great Sunday school curriculum. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Growing in Christ. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on responding to evangelical proof texts with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, talking about 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. We'll also discuss divorce parties with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you then.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.